Hello and good afternoon, everyone. My name's Rene, or Timothy, depends who you're asking. This mic sounds so loud to me. I don't like the sound of my voice. Sorry. Sorry, you guys have to endure this for the next while. So at this point in the sermon series, we've been going through Hebrews. We've gone through 12 chapters, and now we're approaching the last chapter. In this chapter, we have the final therefore. And when I thought of that, I was thinking of the song, "It's the Final Countdown." But it didn't work with the final therefore. But anyways, throughout the sermon series, we've been seeing this pattern of theology, a therefore, and then a practical part. And the writer is constantly building on things. He's building on the supremacy of Christ, the ultimate sacrifice that he is, his priesthood, his once-for-all sacrifice. And now he's kind of shifting to, okay, we've established this. We've established that Christ and Christianity is better than what was before. We have established that the old ways are done with. Jesus has completed those things, and now we are to move forward. And he's encouraging the Hebrewic believers not to go back to those old ways. He's saying, like, hey, man, what you got now is much, much better. So don't go back. Instead, move forward and live this following life. Now, when I was reading these 17 verses, I saw that there was about like 21 verses that or words that like commands or like actions. So the writer's really like, okay, do this, don't do that, remember to do this. And I was like, great, this is going to be like a shopping list sermon where I'm just going to list off a bunch of things like, okay, guys, now do this, don't do that. And if anyone's like me with shopping lists, I'll have forgotten the first 5 points before I even leave the building. That's why Amanda always texts me this shopping list, because I always forget. But then when I was reading and I got to the final verses, something really jumped out of me. The writer started saying that we should sacrifice. We should continue to sacrifice, continually sacrifice even. And I was like, but throughout the whole sermon series, we were reading that the sacrifices were over with. So this really jumped out at me. And that's kind of what I kind of locked in a sense. And there was two types of sacrifices within the Old Testament. There's the sacrifice of sin, of repentance, which is kind of, you would sacrifice an animal to show remorse and repentance for your sins. And then that kind of pointing to the coming of Jesus. But then now that Jesus has come, this whole sacrifice system has been ended, it's completed. But there's a second type of sacrifice as well, and this was the sacrifice of thanksgiving and fellowship. Now, during this time, Jesus, of course, completed the sacrifices, but also the temple was destroyed. And you might think, like, okay, well, if the temple is gone, how do we continue to do sacrifices? Well, the cool thing is in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul writes that, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit?" Or in Romans 12:1, it says that we are to offer our bodies as a sacrifice. So the sacrifices weren't completely done away with, and that's kind of what I'm going to look into, see, okay, what are these sacrifices, and how do we continue to sacrifice in this day and age as people that live far away from the temple? Now, an important note is, oftentimes when we hear the word sacrifice, we think of giving something up, right? We are losing something. We are going without something. And yes, following Jesus sometimes means that. It means that saying no to sin, choosing obedience even when it's hard and it costs us. But Hebrews explains that there's an other side of sacrifice that's not just losing stuff. It is actually a part that completes us. It's part of the fellowship that we have with God. And it's a positive thing. So these verses that I'm covering are, sure, he's telling us to do stuff, but they're good things that he's wanting us to do. They're to build us up. They're to encourage us and to edify us. One of the offerings in the Old Testament was a peace offering. This was done by the people of Israel. And nowadays, if you think of a peace offering, you think of kind of, you know, you forgot your wife's anniversary, and I bought flowers and chocolates, as a peace offering. It's as if you're trying to restore something that's been broken. But that's not the correct way of seeing peace offerings. These offerings that were done in the Old Testament were you were in fellowship with someone and you wanted, or with God, and you wanted to show your thanks because you were in a time of peace, essentially. So it's a good time, like it's a worship thing, and we need to see that when this verses are talking about sacrifices, we need to see it as that, right? Like it's a thing that we're doing out of a heart of gratitude and out of thankfulness, as opposed to we are feeling bad or shy about something. And it's also not to gain favor, right? It's not like, okay, I'm going to give some sacrifices to God, I'm going to do stuff for him, and then he owes me or I am in his favor. That's nothing to do with this. It's purely out of saying to God, thank you so much for what you have done for me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for redeeming me. As a thank you, I now want to give you something in return to show my gratitude. Now, these sacrifices of thanksgiving and fellowship have two parts to them. There's a sacrifice of thanksgiving, which is in verse 15, where it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Now, this is from a heart of gratitude, right? We are using our words to thank him and show our thanks. So this can be worship, right? What we were doing here, it's praising his name. It is sharing a testimony, right? When you've gone through a hard time and you share with people, you give a testimony, which is saying how God has helped you and delivered you through these things, and that you are thankful for him. That's what a testimony is. It's a his story, not a my story. And you do these things out of praise, right? You don't do them out of guilt or shame or something like that. When I praise Amanda for the amazing mother and wife she is, I'm not doing it because I'm feeling guilty that she's a good mother or a good wife. I'm doing it because I'm thankful that she's like that. This is known as the vertical sacrifice, where it's between you and God. You are confessing to God how amazing he is. And then there's the sacrifice of fellowship, which is in verse 16. It says, do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. These are the horizontal sacrifices. It is gratitude overflowing into generosity. We are so thankful for what God has done for us that we want to share it with our fellow believers. This can be monetary, but this can also be time or other type of things. It can be, you know, preparing a meal for someone type thing. It's benefit. You're saying, like, God has provided so much for me, I want to give it to these people, and then everyone benefits. In the Old Testament, we actually see this with one of the offerings of Thanksgiving is only a portion of the sacrifice was actually burnt. It was the fat that was burnt. Now, I would be very happy if God would take my fat as well as a burnt offering. But alas, he has not done that yet. Why is my wife laughing the hardest? Okay. But the rest of it was to be shared with people. So the rest of the food will be eaten in like a potluck, kind of like a Thanksgiving dinner that we're going to be having next month. It's actually almost the exact same thing as this, by the way, but that I'll explain, talk about later as well. Now, these sacrifices, when they were given, were pleasing to God, right? We read in the scriptures, when these sacrifices were given, that it was a pleasing aroma to God. Now, I found the use of the word aroma very interesting because our sense of smell, sometimes very unappreciated compared to seeing and hearing, our sense of smell is super important to us. It is one of the strongest senses for memories. And when I was preparing this, I was thinking back of when I was a very young kid living in England, when I was about 4 years old, I would go out walking. We were living in Metlock Bath, and it would always smell like this in the fall time, this time of the year. There would always be like this musky, wooden smell in the air, which was people burning firewood like kind of damp firewood normally, it would create this really pleasing aroma. And it always stuck with me throughout the years. I remember when I was living in Papua New Guinea, a tropical country where you never had a thing as fall, I remember still that smell coming back to me sometimes. And when I moved to England, I smelt it again, and it just brought me back to that time of when I was a little kid. Another smell that really sticks with me is my mom's perfume. My mom, for as long as I can remember, has been wearing a perfume called Black Opium. And sometimes I still smell it these days, or when I'm in like a store, like a DM, I might go to the aisle, and if I see the perfume there, I'll always smell it. And my mind goes straight back to the time when I was a little kid and I was in her arms, and just gives you that warm feeling inside of you. This is the same effect that our works, our sacrifices have on God. We read in 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." When we do good, when we sacrifice to God in the form of thanksgiving, he is reminded of the good works that his son has done on the cross, his obedience, and it reminds God of our obedience. Amen. Isn't that just so, like, I don't know, so intimate of God to share that? Like, that this is, like, he has the same feeling as we do at times, like this warm, fuzzy feeling for the things that we do for him. Now, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, as I said before, were often burnt, and the smoke would cause the aroma to go up in a pillar of smoke. In our analogy of the sacrifices, we can see our deeds as the ingredients for the sacrifice. And the ingredients are important, of course. We need to make sure that they're good ingredients, but they don't themselves always give off the smoke. I do think when you think of like Indian food, for example, sometimes you can already smell the food before it's ever prepared, or lots of African foods as well. Not Dutch food. You don't smell that before it's cooked. I'll tell you that much. But with this, the fire, the stuff that makes the sacrifice actually go up in smoke is our love. When we have love in the deeds that we do, it ascends to heaven and it pleases the Lord. Without love, our pile of deeds may have good intentions, but they're meaningless to God, right? And these ingredients, these deeds can still benefit others, right? If I give someone a bunch of money here, it'll probably benefit them still. But if I do it out of selfishness, because I want to be complimented, or, I don't know, out of spite or something like that, it's not going to be pleasing to God. God won't see it. And this is also what he talks about in James, when James says that our faith without works are dead, where it's like we have to act out our faith. There needs to be movement. There needs to be a deed that makes our faith real. Without it, without the love of doing these things for God, yeah, there's almost no point of doing it. So it's important to remember that these sacrifices are not a ritual, right? We don't go every month, every Sunday to church, go through the words, yada, 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 and then we go home and move on with our day. No, these aren't rituals. It's a relationship. We're doing these things intentionally. If I would tell my wife every Monday morning, "Honey, I love you. Thank you for being a great wife," and the rest of the week I would say or do nothing for her, those words would be completely meaningless. Because it's not an ongoing thing, right? I can't be like, okay, every once a year, I'm going to get like a really expensive dinner and I'm going to spoil her, and the rest of the year, I don't do something. No, it has to be a continuous day in, day out type thing of loving and saying thank you for the wonderful person that God is. Now, there's a part here where, before we move on to what these sacrifices look like in practical life, the writer adds something that's easy to miss. He reminds us that Jesus offered himself outside of the city. In the Old Covenant, being outside of the city was considered a place of impurity and rejection, right? Now, Jesus has made that the place of holiness and of righteousness, because that's where Jesus is. And we're called to do the exact same thing. Sometimes To truly live as an offering of God, we have to set ourselves outside of the city, outside of the world's patterns, outside of certain relationships, outside of certain habits, because these things are keeping us unclean and focused away from God. And, of course, it's not about being isolated, right? It's not like being a monk in a monastery somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It's about our identity. We are set apart. We're setting ourselves apart for Christ. And this is what holiness really means, right? Holiness really just means being set apart. We're moving away from the world. We're moving outside of the city. And we're saying, okay, I want to pray, please God and sacrifice myself to God. And this is where it's possible. Now, this comes at a cost at times, right? I know for a lot of teenagers these years, what's very important to you is being a part of the group, right? Is to form an identity, to be seen by your fellow peers. But it is possible that your peers are causing you to do things that are not pleasing to God, or it is they're distracting you from doing things that are pleasing to God. And this is when it takes a lot of courage to take that step of faith and step away from it. And of course, that's for teenagers, but that's also for adults. It could be at your job, right? Being that one person that's, you know, not willing to go out for drinks in the evening, or making a certain type of jokes with people. This is, in a way, maybe seen as a sacrifice, and this can be the part that's hard. However, here we are reminded that, yes, we might be, in a way, rejected by the world, or we might be outcast from the world, but the world is not our home. We are looking forward to a home that is to come, which is also kind of the sermon series we had before of the already not yet kingdom. In 1 John, in the sermon I did for that, I don't know how long ago, one of the points I was trying to make was that we need to prioritize the love of God over the love of the world, because we cannot serve two masters, we can only serve one. So if we want to stay part of this world, we can't be fully dedicated to God. But again, we're choosing to stand with God, because this is part of us showing how we are grateful for what he's done. It's about being obedient to him. Now, talking about communicating something to God, we're trying to communicate that we love him and that we're thankful for him. These are the sacrifices. But does anyone here know the five love languages? Has anyone ever heard of it? A few nods, yeah. Some of the nods are from people trying to stay awake. That's fine. When I was looking through these 21 verbs or 21 commands, I was kind of seeing how they linked to the five love languages. And I thought it would be cool to kind of link those with the love languages with how we can communicate our thankfulness to God. So the first love language is the words of affirmation. This is kind of like the verse 15, where we use our lips to praise God. This can be worship, this can be prayer, this can be testimony. It is basically like complimenting or saying something to your wife, like, hey, thank you for taking care of the kids, or you look so beautiful today. The same thing, we can use our words to glorify God. The second one is quality time. This is meditating and spending time with God. Not listening to music, you know, not being busy and having some worship song in the background or a podcast, but actually just spending time and waiting on God to speak to you. However, this is also fellowship. This is also spending time with the community. This is spending time with fellow believers. So in a way, you could see sleepovers as a form of worship to God. Now, of course, it's important to mention that when you're having fellowship with people, it's important what you're doing during that time, right? If you're fellowshipping with people and you're watching Love Island or Keeping Up with the Kardashians and gossiping about people, that's not going to be pleasing to God, right? Like, there has to be the right focus on things. The third one is acts of service. This is verse 16, doing good and helping others. This can be a ministry. This can also just be knowing that someone in the community is going through a hard time and you want to prepare a meal or fix something in their house. Doing these things out of generosity and out of love are pleasing to God. I can imagine when the kids are older, mine are not old enough for this yet, but to see your children helping each other will be such a pleasing thing to see. And that's the same for God when he sees his children loving, caring, and encouraging one another. The fourth one, gifts, could be really just giving and sharing, right? You see a fellow believer having a need for something, you give it to them, or you just want to pamper them. Be like, hey, you know, Renee, you're looking good, but here's the new Rolex. You know, if that's fine, that's a blessing. This, of course, can also be tithing or giving to the church. Of course, it's important to remember that when you do these things, you do it out of a joyful heart, right? Paul says this as well, where when we give, we should be giving generously. We should be giving with a happy heart, because it is very important that you don't just do stuff because it's told. Which is something I learned really late in life. I remember being young. Actually, I saw a home video a while ago of when I was about 11 years old. My family was recording the house, and I was doing the dishes. And I had a really bad attitude doing the dishes. But my parents would always tell me off for it, like, you know, you got to check your attitude. Be happy. Be blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, why? I'm doing it. Why do you care how I'm doing it? It's only till later on in life I realized having a happy heart and being grateful. You know, my parents, now being the parents, realized how much work my parents put into making a meal. Man, all I had to do was do the dishes at the end of it. But I was so ungrateful for them because I had to do the dishes at the end of the meal. And in my defense, I did have an older brother and sister, okay? There were a lot of dishes. The fifth one is physical touch or physical contact. This one took more of a second to think about. But one of the things I realized was in verse 4, it talks about honoring your marriage. Marriage is a very physical thing because it's two people becoming one flesh. And honoring this, being a good partner, is already pleasing to God. Amen? Yes. It's very hard, but it's very pleasing. And another one that I found is reading the Word of God, right? We are physically holding His Word in our hands, and we are spending time with Him. These things, just having your devotions, already pleases God because it shows that you care about Him and you want to know Him more. Now, I must say, some of these are easier than others. But in like any human relationship, it is good for us to challenge ourselves in diversifying the way that we say, God, thank you for loving me. I love you. The final therefore in this part is not a heavy command. It is not him trying to put more load on us. It is instead an invitation, a loving invitation, to say to God, thank you, to spend time in your day being intentional about how you say thank you to God. Now, this can be a praise. This can be just worshiping God through music. It could be spending time in the Bible. It could be intentionally loving your partner intentionally. It can be spending time with people, right? If you know someone's going through, spending time with them in a way that edifies the person, right? So it's not just like, hey, let's come over, like, let's hang out and do nothing together. Let's just doom scroll. No, it's about being like, hey, let's talk. Let's get to know each other. Like, what are you struggling with? How can I encourage you? These are all things that we do to say to God, we love you and thank you. It's really that easy. And it should be fun, right? It should be nice to say thank you to God. And that's what's the important thing with this part is remembering that communicating our love should not be seen as an obligation, right? If I tell my wife that I love her and she senses that I'm saying it out of obligation, she's not happy. She's not happy at all with it. But when you say thank you with the right intentions, with love, it always hits hard and it always is a beautiful thing. And that's what he's trying to point out here. It's like, because of God, what he has done for us, we too should live out this life of saying thank you. So these sacrifices or offerings might cost you a little bit, but they give you so much in return. And we do these things not for salvation, right? We're not trying to gain credit with God or gain favor. We're not trying to become his favorite child. But we're doing it, these sacrifices, from salvation. Our worship and our generosity and our fellowship are a living echo of the cross. We are using love to respond to love. Thank you very much.
It'll be my joy to say your will, your way. Maybe you're reminded of that. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, worship team. You know, as I was on this last song, I just remembered I missed someone on my list that serves us every single week, Phineas and Stephanie. Thank you guys so much for all you do. Thankful for you helping us worship well, helping us offer an acceptable worship. And I hope that's your hearts as we go into this week, that we would use this week to lay our lives down, to be a living sacrifice for the glory of our God. You know, I think that we're learning, and we've learned over the past couple weeks, the importance of love and how it helps us live purely. It helps us live in a way that brings glory to our God. Without love, our offerings, they're not a pleasing aroma. Yeah, we're reminded of that today by Renee. Living purely is purely loving. And I think we're reminded of that in Ephesians 5. I want to close with these words today as we go. They say this: therefore, be imitators of our God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And then Paul, he says a bunch of things, and then he comes back to this in verse 19. He says this: addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence and awe for Christ. So may we take this into our week. Thank you for coming. We hope you have a great day. Stay around to say hi to the couples that dedicated their babies. Grab another coffee, and we hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for coming.